Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Crappy Hour. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben, and I've got a window open also playing this, so I'm hearing me double. So, Ben, talk for a minute. How you doing,
Ben? Okay, I'm going to talk while you deal with your echo issues. I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing? Hi, good to see everyone here in the chat. We've got some funny things to talk about today on Crappy Hour. I'm seeing, even before this even began, we can see the chat on YouTube. And you guys are already cracking me up. And I just have to give a special shout out. Where are you? Kate, you're in an existential battle with your wireless printer because it refuses to acknowledge that it exists on your Wi-Fi. I get that. I'm so sorry that you're going through that. That's one of the most frustrating things someone could go through. So we are here to help you out of this tech-involved situation. What's going on with you, Ronnie?
Well, I'm on coyote watch. Let me see who asked. Aaron just asked, is the coyote still stalking me every day? It's here every single day. I've got it on camera. It's like three times a day now. It goes out there and it waits where Bueller goes out. I've got everything over here. I've got wolf pee. I've got silverware in a cup that I shake. I've got mace. I've got a BB gun, a Glock. That I shoot. I haven't actually been able, because once I get close enough, it runs the hell away from me, which I don't blame. It's not a real gun, so everybody calm down.
Clarify that it's not a real Glock.
It's a BB gun Glock. I could not be trusted with a real gun because I have a temper, but also because I'm just too clumsy. I mean, I've almost shot myself with this BB gun. It's heavy as hell. I guess it's supposed to be like a real Glock, so it's really heavy. And I'm trying to put it in my... you know, sweatpants. So my sweatpants are falling down. And then I'm walking around with it outside my sweatpants. And now if the neighbors ever see me, they're going to think I'm walking around with a pistol. So I probably should get rid of that. I got a coyote vest for Bueller. That's too big, so I'm getting a different one. What else? I got a trap put out there. That didn't work. The coyotes are too smart. They literally look at it and just walk around it and look back at me and like flip up their middle paw. And they're like, fuck you, stupid. That's where I'm at. Still out there. Can't get rid of them.
It's so frustrating. They're like squatters. They're like Airbnb squatters. You were gone for about 8 weeks, and then they moved right in and they were like, this is ours now. It's tough.
They came, you know, it's like squatters who want to eat your dog. I wouldn't mind the coyotes if they weren't trying to eat my dog. The problem is they're eating my child. Okay. This is my child. How dare you come for my child? If you ever come for me
ever.
Or my Bueller.
You need to do a humane trapping where it goes into a trap, like a cage, and then you transport it to a different part of the city, a different forest where it'll thrive, and you let it go there. And then you return home. That way it's still alive. It just has been relocated.
Yeah, I like that. Doha is saying mountain lions too, but we are on their land, so we're the squatters. I totally get that. I'm not saying murder the coyote. I just don't want it eating my dog. And also, I pay the mortgage. So tell me when that coyote starts paying the mortgage and we can all do. Because, you know, normally, I'm like, you're so cute. Until the Bueller murder. That's a no-go for me. Sorry. And I have a neighborhood. It's not an app, but I'm on a WhatsApp thread with all the neighbors, you know, so we can update each other. And it's kind of what you think. It's people like, hey, someone was speeding up the street. We better get him. What's their license plate? You know, it's a lot of stuff like that. But this is the first time I've ever written it. And I was like, hey, my dog just got attacked by a coyote. What do I do? It was the first day it happened. By the way, Bueller's fine. He's, you know, but anyway, I posted that. And, they're like, oh gosh, please don't hurt the coyote. Is it the one-eyed one that we're trying to save? And like maybe three times since then, the neighbors keep posting like, is the coyote, there's a coyote sitting right outside. Isn't it adorable? It's in the sunset. You fucking, I swear to God. Do I just need to put, I don't know what to do.
But I asked the internet. And I asked basically Google, and it gave me an AI answer, and it said that what you need to do. I said wolf pee has already been tried, and traps and loud noises, and it says you have to remove all food and water attractants, and you have to actively reshape their behavior through targeted high intensity multi person hazing techniques. I love this. It's like they're in a frat. So they say remove food sources. So bring pet food indoors. Obviously, lock trash and heavy bins with secure latches. Pick up fallen fruit or vegetables daily. Eliminate water, empty standing water bowls, clear leaky spigots, keep pools or fountains inaccessible, clear shelter, so trim low brush and dense bushes and block access under decks or sheds where they might hide or den. And then it also says, now in terms of active behavioral hazing, advance aggressively. Do not just stand and yell. Step towards the coyote while waving your arms high, opening an umbrella or shaking a noisy object. Please open an umbrella like you're doing a musical number. I would love that. They say, vary your tactics. Switch between air horns, yelling, water hoses, and throwing small objects like tennis balls or sticks near them so they don't adapt to a single noise. And then mobilize the neighbors. So consistent community-wide hazing techniques. But I don't know if you'll get to be able to do that part. So that's according to the internet. Yeah, the
neighbor thing's definitely not going to work.
What about, all right, whatever. What about putting up a giant poster of Britney's reunion outfit? That might scare the coyote.
Thank you.
Away.
Let's transfer out of this. I was going to say I should just play, you know, a Real Housewives of Orange County reunion out there. Just have Tamara screaming at the top of her lungs to scare the hell out of them. But yeah, or the Valley Britney reunion looks came out.
Yeah, force Britney to put some sunglasses on the coyote. You're a cool guy, coyote. You're a cool guy. It'll be like, I'm out of here. I can't. You're a cool guy. Reunion. Reunion looks for the Valley. You know, these at this point, it's become pretty standard. The reunion looks come out enough with such frequency that we really don't comment on them anymore. But the Valley ones hit, and it has immediately taken over Twitter. Everyone's talking about it. And I think really what it comes down to is, Brittany, I'll just share it for people who are, let's share screen. Actually, no, I'm going to download the image instead of sharing the screen. It'll look a little bit cleaner. But Britney's outfit is a wow. It's a wow.
It's a wow.
I'm downloading it right now.
Do you want me to put them up?
I'm putting up Britney's. You can get them all, but I'm going to do a special image for image file. Britney right now. Here we go. This is Britney's look.
Wow. That is a wow.
It's a wow. Okay.
That is so many different kinds of a couch.
There's so many things that are going wrong with it. When are her friends going to intervene and help her out? Because when she did this whole thing of, I'm going to do a mommy makeover and yada, 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 I thought like what would follow would be some really cute outfits. Like I kind of was like, oh, she's wearing not great outfits because maybe like she's not sure how to dress for what her body type is or something. But like I was sort of giving her the benefit of the doubt. Like maybe she does have style. She just doesn't understand, you know. But now this is off. This is,
she just doesn't understand.
You know, it's like, like, what do I do?
What?
Like,
no, like, Britney's never had style. She showed up on the Vanderpump Rules wearing a nightie to her job interview with Lisa. I'll never forget. I mean, it was actually prettier than most of the things she's worn in her favor, you know, on her side, whatever I'm trying to say. But yeah, Britney is not really known for her taste.
This is unflattering in the worst. I mean, first of all, the colors are not great. I know that they're probably given like a color scheme that they'll have to abide by. But what this picture does not capture is the rhinestone of it all, because I saw a little on Bravo's Instagram, they showed like her posing and it was a video and the bottom half sparkles so aggressively. Sparkle, she got my sparkle back. And so you have this crazy sparkle. And so it's like you draw your attention either to the sparkle. Normally you have that much sparkle drawing attention there. But then there is this corsety kind of thing that is it a corset?
I think, yeah, it's like a brown. So first of all, the bottom is, more like what it is a long floor drapey. Well, not drapey, but it's like goes down to the floor skirt that's kind of a maroonish brown with like almost a paisley. I don't even know what the shape is of the rhinestones. And then the corset thing on top is another kind of brown, but it doesn't go with the bottom kind of a brown. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the bustier on top is obviously tight, but then split down the middle and then tied in three spots coming down with the middle.
It looks like
the Hulk about to come out when the Hulk is like in transition of coming out of the skin. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't look like the Hulk. I'm just saying it's like she's in the process of it being ripped off is what I mean.
It's like the substance when Margaret Qualley has to come out of Demi Moore.
And she comes out of Demi Moore. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I think the top, what it's supposed to do, I think it's supposed to become like a sexy peekaboo moment. But what it really looks like is like, it looks like the top is being torn open. And it's like very, very unflattering. It's like wildly unflattering for her. And it's just... It's like a sh- and it's like
Buzz uneven. Says if beer cheese was a person.
Oh, that's- it's also like uneven. It feels like it's lopsided. It doesn't feel like it's constructed properly, and it just doesn't seem like it matches with the top or the bottom. Nothing is speaking to each other. Definitely not both sides of the bustier. It's just can we make this Britney's storyline for next season? Is that she's going to improve her style? Because enough is enough. She's always had bad style, like you said, but this is it. This is it. It's time to intervene.
It's
for charity. Okay. It's like,
but look, here's the thing. Like I get people needing a makeover. You know, you want to get a makeover, a mommy makeover, or, you know, I'm a huge fan of a little tweak here and then. So I get that, but start with the cheap, easy things like clothes, you know,
yeah.
That's easier. Like, how could you spend all that money for the skin and, you know, physical makeover when this is still what you're choosing to put on top of it? I don't know. The whole thing is just scary and sad. And, you know, you're saying, why doesn't she ask her friends, or why don't her friends help her? Her friends are Zach. I mean,
yeah,
Zach is wearing a denim two-piece bedazzled thing through this entire season. You know, who are her friends? Let me show you who her friends are with these other pictures that came out of this reunion. And now, granted, we started with Britney, so these aren't going to be as bad, but they're not great. And I think that we're not even fashion gays. Only on a show like The Valley could Ben or I have any say over fashion. I'm wearing an active black t-shirt from Old Navy with some sweatpants right now while I talk about this. And I still feel more fashionably sound.
Yeah, it's just, my heart breaks for her that she doesn't have the sense that this is one of the worst looks we've ever seen at a reunion ever.
Yeah. So I think the color palette I don't know. Well, that'll be interesting to see the reunion. How does anybody sit in some of these outfits that they wear on reunions? First of all, that's rough. But we have that. The color palette is brown. People have called Janet beige for years. It's like the third year that people have called her beige Janet. And I think it's funny that they have kind of a brown color palette, and then Janet's the only one in blue.
Yeah,
so she's always, this really exactly. is Janet's season.
And you know what, Ronnie? Sorry. Didn't mean to put Britney up there. I actually found some bigger images, so I'm going to share my screen just to make it a little easier. Sorry, everyone. A trigger warning. It starts with Danny. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here we are. So we're with Danny. He's doing like a double-breasted, and we'll come back to Janet. I'm sorry. This is just the beginning of this carousel.
No, that was all I had to say. It's just funny that she showed up on the year that the color is brown. She showed up in like bright blue. So
I know.
But Danny, yeah, this is trash. I think a lot trash, maybe not. I think all the men are wearing the same suit.
Yeah. Well, Danny is trying for a double-breasted. I think I can't tell if this is just a bad photo. Like, it's not. There's a lot of creases happening. It doesn't look like it's fitting him properly. He's definitely giving that like tween boy being forced to wear a suit for the first time look. It's not landing the way it should be, but maybe in motion it'll look better. I'm surprised he went for more of a European double-breasted look. I would think he'd be like, America first. We only do one breast. Although I do love to have two breasts.
Toots. Get daddy a drink, toots.
Nia's look, to me, it seems it's nice, but it feels like a little matronly, right?
I think Nia's is really pretty, actually, except for the shawl that wraps around from the rib cage over the shoulder and then around the neck as well. I think it's a little much shawl, but you know, I did just see the Odyssey and there's a lot of shawlage happening. So maybe it's that.
Aging student says Danny emulates the Hillsong church, church priest guy. And then, the other Emily says it just doesn't fit, but yeah, I agree. It's like the sash, it's almost like an allusion to the fact that she was a beauty queen, but I do find it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's not quite doing what she wants for it. It's funny because Michael's wore a very similar sash at Southern Hospitality. And it was like, ooh, chic, mod. I mean, I don't know if that was really working for him either, but he was trying to make, it was kind of like a wow moment. But even I wasn't that wowed by it, but I think it was going for that. But this is just sort of like lady going to, you know, a gala kind of vibe, right?
I mean, this one to me is pretty and... But, you know, I think it's also pretty. Standing next to a lot of these that aren't great. Same suit. He's wearing the exact same thing as Tom. I'm gonna kick your thing off the screen just for a second, just to show all the guys standing next to each other. For a second, we'll bring yours back to look at them individually. But I just want you to see how everybody's wearing basically the same suit in different shades. But Schwartz and Luke are wearing pretty much the exact same thing. Maybe it's like a slight different tone, but is there anybody working in the wardrobe department at this show? Do you think?
I can't. No, the answer is no. The answer is no. The answer is a decided no.
This show's not really known for its fashions, but
it really isn't. You know. So well,
there's that.
There's that. So we have, I'm going to kick you off now.
Huh.
And then here comes back to Luke. I don't know why. I think that necklace feels like it's not quite the right vibe for this outfit. I know they probably want to do like an accessory, but it's kind of giving jersey a little bit in a way that I don't think he's probably going.
And black shoes.
Mm-mm. I think a white button down would have been looked a little cuter, but I don't know. Okay, we already discussed
it. All roads lead back to Britney, though. Like, seriously. well, let's get on to some other stories because there's only so much time we can spend on Valley.
All right. Well, I just want to point out
ahead.
One
no,
thing.
No, go ahead.
There's
go ahead.
One thing that's very important to me. I don't like this dress on Jasmine. I like the fit of Kristen's. I just don't know if I like that snakeskin look.
Is that what it is? Snake skin?
It looks like it's like a snake skin or a crocodile skin, maybe. I don't know.
Snake skin. I just did a close up on it. Oosh.
I don't love this one for Lala. I don't know why. Okay, this is the last thing I want to talk
Lala's
about.
Lala's is matronly, I think.
It's like matron. It just feels, it looks cheap, you know? I have to talk about this thing. I need to speak up about the suburban dads who think they're being really clever by wearing sneakers with suits. Like, this has to stop because they're all doing it and they all think they're being very clever. Like, there was a moment where people were like wearing Converse with more of a formal look. It's so played out. It ended 10 years ago. Like, enough's enough. This is sort of a better version of it because he has like his white shoe is like a nice white shoe as opposed to just like a Vans or something like that. And I like a Vans.
Matches his
like,
shirt.
Exactly.
Ben, we're getting a robot pretty bad.
Okay. Apologies for the robot. This is a great time for me to reboot my system while you continue on with the chat.
No, you don't have to reboot. I think it was the Safari because I don't hear it.
Oh, okay.
I think it was just these outfits.
just Brittany.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So what did we talk about as far as some of this gossip? Because I remember we've talked about Salt Lake City a little bit, but I don't remember what show we talked about it on.
I mean, all of this stuff we've sort of like lightly touched on. We haven't like done deep dive chatter on, but I think of the most recent I'm trying to look at what the most recent thing is that's gotten everyone into a tizzy. But I think it's like everyone's talking about the Salt Lake City relationships falling apart. I mean, we did talk about it a little bit last week, but we can dive into it more deeply.
Yeah, so it's been a bad week for those. There were rumors that, are they confirmed? I mean, it was on TMZ, so that's more reliable than a, I don't know, regular blind. But mm-hmm. Angie and her husband are split. And yeah. Then the very next day, poor Whitney came out, as you pointed out, like Lala, getting it in there too late. You know, she was mm-hmm. going to have a big breakup, but then she kind of missed her opportunity. But Whitney and Justin living separately.
Yeah. Well, you know, Monica, of course, had a lot to say about this. She was on Monica of Salt Lake City. She was on, I think she was on Carlos King's show.
She co-hosts that.
She co-hosts it? I thought she just guests often. On it a lot. Yeah.
I think she co-hosts it a lot of the time because she's on there. All the time.
She's on there a ton.
But go ahead. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she said, so basically Carlos was like, I didn't hear about infidelity. So he says, I mean, I didn't hear it. I'm not saying it's true or it's not true. I didn't hear that, but I did hear that Sean may allegedly feel that Angie has changed once she became a housewife. And Monica's like, that's exactly what I heard too, that she's become intolerable, insufferable, difficult, out of touch with reality. It's like, that is unfortunately part of the gig. And no one should know that better than Monica herself.
Yeah, no kidding. What are we going to yell at people for doing their jobs now? For Christ's sake. Also, I saw Sean years, not this BravoCon, but the one that was 2 years before. So what is that, like 2.5 years ago? He was in like skin tight, silky pants, like a Gucci belt and a skin tight silk shirt that was buttoned down to his belly button. He's ripped as hell. He was wearing like, you know, brand, I'm just making shit up, but like Louis Vuitton, you know, or like, I don't know, just, it was like brand carrying a Louis Vuitton bag. He looked pretty affected as well. So I'm going to stand up for my Angie K here,
think
at least against Sean.
Someone, Super Vixen in the chat says, been hearing Sean is red pilling Manosphere dude. So this has been something that's been swirling around Sean for a while. Like, look at the people that he follows. He's very like, he follows a lot of conservative, you know, content creators or Manosphere things. Do you think as that stuff got attention, do you think that's something that may have been at the core of some of like some of this? It's like, that's a bad look for Angie being on Bravo. Do you think that that was anything that contributed to this, or do you think that's just completely coincidental? I'm not trying to stir up anything, but it is something that crossed my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that what you think?
I don't know. I have to imagine there were probably some discussions about things like that. And like, I have to imagine that leads to like, you know, that's a tough thing. If you have someone that's like, but I really, this is who I am. I like watching these shows. I like, this is who I want to vote for. And I'm not saying one way or another if Angie even had this conversation with Sean, but if a conversation like that happened, like, this is bad because of my, I'm on Bravo, people are not going to like me, yada, yada, yada. Like, that's the exact sort of, that's like the literal exact something that could lead to a, you've changed, you've been consumed by this Bravo thing. I'm just trying to be me. And I, again, I'm not saying that this happened. I'm just purely wondering if this may be something that contributed to it. Cause everyone's speculating about everything. Is it an affair? Is it this or that, whatever. So I'm just adding another thing to speculate about.
Well, this comment from Miss Mallory says he was following accounts for being a narcissist too. Yikes. Oh. God, nothing like some good old passive aggression like that. Jeez.
Oh, wow.
Everything I get from the show, and the show started off with them sleeping on a bed that was as big as a city block and not getting near each other and being distant and not, and having no chemistry in there. Marriage. Yeah. So I don't know. I just go with that. But
it's honestly like you had to imagine it was going to be a hard road. You know, when Angie's first full-time season, it's a storyline of whether or not her husband is gay. When that stuff happens, it's always like, ooh, this marriage is about to absorb some damage. And will they be able to get through something like this? Obviously it's not damaging to be gay, but like rumors like that, where it's like, oh, my wife went on this TV show and now this is something that's just out there in the world and I have to defend it all the time. Like, no, I am straight or whatever. Like stuff like that is hard on a relationship, you know? Like I have to imagine it's really, really hard. Probably more like, oh, you put us in a space where now, you put me in a space where I'm vulnerable to these sort of accusations or rumors and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So yeah, I was a little worried like about them after all that stuff happened.
They seem like they kind of have a low-key great dislike of each other, I'll say, since she started on this show. So that one wasn't too surprising. The Whitney stuff isn't surprising either. But as far as Whitney goes, I don't really believe most of what Whitney says. So I don't even know if this is for storyline or not. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of rumors that it's for storyline. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't care that much. I think that the falling out of this stuff has been what's good because, of course, Meredith, I think both right away, right after the first was announced, which the first was Angie, Meredith posted something like, well, karma is not just a river in Egypt, and some people have been projecting all over me when their own relationship. You know, she did a very Meredith Meredithly worded post. And it was a little kick them while they're down, I thought.
It really was. And then, of course, she backtracked when she's got flagged. She said, well, I wasn't directing at anyone. I was just making an observation in a vacuum that just happened to coincide with two of my enemies on the show losing their marriages. That's it. But truthfully, my commentary about karma was purely just because I had seen a commercial for Credit Karma and I thought, wow, that could be applied to just all sorts of karma. And that's it.
Your husband may leave you, but karma will always come back.
So I was a little surprised to see Meredith make that little kick them while they're down moment. Like I was not surprised by Lisa, because Lisa, that's Lisa. Like not that she would kick while down, but Lisa, I think in any situation, Lisa's just thinking about herself. And in that moment, she's like, oh my God, this is a great time to remind people that we have a really great relationship and that they should like look to us as beacons for love. Yeah.
And hers was with her arm around John, and she's holding a bottle of Vita tequila, and it says, partners in everything. Yeah. We're not just like partners in business, but we're also like still partners in real life. So whatever. So that's their thing. Also, there have been rumors swirling around that Angie and Mary are donezo. Angie did an interview this week where she was saying Heather Gay is her ride or die now. Her and Mary don't follow, or she and Mary don't follow each other anymore. Boom, boom, boom.
But I thought that already happened. Like, I know there was a thing where Angie and Mary stopped following each other and everyone was like, oh my God, they're not following each other. But then they started following each other again. So they unfollowed again.
Yeah. A Reddit comment, which is basically the New York Times, was speculating that they only followed each other again because it was before the season aired. And Bravo was like, you can't spoil the season by unfollowing each other and letting people know you're having problems. So they followed each other back. And then once the season stopped shooting, they unfollowed each other. Who knows? Following drama. Who's following who? I took it. I took the news that she said that Heather Gay is her ride or die now to be the nail in that coffin. I'm looking for a USB converter. That's what I'm doing right now, looking through my bag. Sorry to be distracting everybody.
I want to bring something. This is also something from Reddit. I'm going to present her an invite. Okay, share screen window. Okay, so Lisa had posted this photo of her and John in the wake of what had happened. And Eagle-Eyed Redditor was like, actually, Lisa just photoshopped their faces like she photoshopped John, this is according to them, onto a black man's body because she forgot to change the hand.
Yeah, that's what Noor was saying on her podcast.
Oh, I totally did
there. Is that I thought maybe it was a shadow, but
it could be.
It doesn't look like a shadow here.
It's definitely two different hands. Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? I don't see color. I don't see literally. Color, everyone.
But like, I literally don't. I can't.
I love that.
I can't tell. I can't tell anymore. That's when it's not just a saying. Yeah.
It's the most progressive Photoshop to come out of the Bravo universe of all time.
Oh, gosh. So that's the Salt Lake City stuff. I'm just glad all this news is coming out about Salt Lake City, because that means it's time for a return. It's getting near. Because we're going to need something else to be on other than just New York City, right? Because we're going to have...
We're going to have Orange County for a while.
Not the most promising start.
I have to say, it's not a great start. And I wonder who we could look to for that being a problem. I'm going to say Gina and Emily again.
Do these look like glaucoma glasses?
You mean like cataract glasses? A little bit. They look a little bit like you might glasses. Or maybe you might pull someone over on the freeway.
Oh, really? They look like cop glasses?
Are you going to be sending any
bombs? Why do things always look good in a gas station? What?
I said, are you going to be sending any bombs in the mail?
Not unless you're a coyote.
Wait, put them on again. Let's see.
When I tell you in the gas station, I was like, $9? Those look so cute. Well, I put them on.
They look
on,
cute with the mustache. They're just they look a little big. And like, I know they're supposed to be oversized, but there's one thing for them to be oversized and one thing for them to be a little bit out of proportion. Like they're not like resting on your nose quite right. But I could be wrong. What do people in the chat think? Because again, I'm not a fashion gay.
Well, that's okay. Just a quick question. And I never found the USB converter. So I'm just going to sit here and roast in this house. What do you think? Because I can't plug my little USB fan in now. Wow. Okay, so let's see here. Let's get to some Southern hospitality stuff. I remember we talked a little bit about TJ, too, and all of this when this was starting, but I don't remember what episode it was.
Yeah, but TJ and Leva seem to be having a falling out. So TJ posted a photo of him like leaning up against a pallet that I think has a hot dog stand, hot dog thing. I don't know what it is. It's some sort of piece of machinery. And he says, it felt criminal not posting for National Hot Dog Day yesterday, which is a great way to start any sentence. I'm like, oh, I feel you. I mean, National Hot Dog Day came and went without even a whimper from me. But honestly, I've been so focused on what's next that I haven't really stopped to reflect. For a long time, I let someone convince me that I needed them for my dreams to become reality, and that I was moving too fast, that I should stay where I was, that my future depended on staying under someone else's umbrella instead of building your own. I'm like, building your own umbrella or building your own future? Or is your future umbrellas?
And that's it. I'm building umbrellas now. That is my decision. And this is a really long monologue. You know, at some point you have to ask yourself if you're living your own story or someone else's story. Girl, it's a hot dog stand. Like, can we stop?
Yeah, he's like I'm betting
who
on
hurt
myself
and your hot dog stand.
Yeah, just say I'm so excited, I'm starting up my own business. It's like so easy, and it's just so funny how like between TJ and Joe, these like big serious statements about them getting new jobs is like they're just so over the top with it. You know, it's like, it's proof that sometimes the biggest leap you can take is walking away from what feels comfortable and trusting yourself enough to build something from the ground up. So you went from serving hot dogs on a Sunday afternoon to just serving hot dogs all week long. Great.
I guess it's like exciting. A brick and mortar thing. But my favorite line was right before this. He says, Sir Wiener's was never just about hot dogs. I love that.
It was about America.
He should put that on. He should put that on the t-shirt. Sir Wieners, not just about hot dogs. What the fuck else is it about? I just want a hot dog.
Buns.
Hot dogs.
Condiments.
Toppings. Trauma.
It was never about hot dogs. It was about merch also. That's why we had 10 different photo shoots for hot dogs.
Yeah, so he says he's not asking for permission anymore, and I'm going to believe that I was enough all along. Charleston and Richmond, Sir Wiener's brick and mortars are happening. Stay tuned. So this set off, you know, the internet saying, oh, wow, this is clearly anti-Leva. And what did Leva do? Try to steal his hot dog business or whatever? So Leva followed up with a post. Let me look at Leva's post.
And by the way, I do have to say, in Leva's defense, I feel like she's always been very complimentary about TJ and always used TJ as an example of like what her other employees should do. She was always like, Joe, you don't even have a business plan. I mean, look at TJ. He's thriving. You know, everything was about how good TJ was. So now he's like, oh, and fuck her. I'm like, oh, wow. What happened?
Yeah. And it's awkward to take Leva's side in any way, but to say like building it from the ground up and doing it. I mean, no, you built it from a place that was her restaurant and her TV show and everything else. So I don't know. Something bad must have happened because I feel like he wouldn't clearly be coming for her like that unless something happened. So she follows up a few hours later with a passive aggressive Instagram story, and it's a guy holding a sign over a freeway like it's a protest. It kind of reminds me of the freeway protests that people were doing a few years ago. It looks like he's about to do a freeway protest, but the sign he's holding over says, not being liked by fucking losers is usually a good sign. So then everybody was like, oh, well, clearly you're coming for TJ with how dare you? So everybody got really pissed at Leva. And then Leva responded like, oh my God, you guys, like, seriously, it's nothing to do with anybody at my rest. This is just like a post. Like, I don't know why everybody's acting like that.
It's just like, what? Just people what? Coming into Zach's Dax. Like, what are you talking about? Like, Zach's Dax is hotter than ever. Come get your margarita, but also do an art class, but also get your tarot reading. Like, whatever. What are you talking about?
Yep. And so then Joe Bradley came out with the next bombshell. Joe Bradley is leaving Leva's place to go work for a new, quote unquote, this is from Reality Blurb, new, quote unquote, hospitality group amid rumor of Leva's exit from Southern Hospitality. So when we heard this news, we said, well, clearly this is going to be an Austin and Craig spinoff, right? Because how are you going to do Southern Hospitality without Leva, unless you just get rid of that whole restaurant group, because Lamar doesn't want to shoot either. And we didn't see Leah CEO this past season. So,
yeah, the big problem right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
maybe Joe, they're starting over with Austin. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, Joe said he was going to be moving over to Uptown Hospitality Group. And I don't know, is Uptown Hospitality Group the same group that does, by the way, I'm not sure what Uptown is.
Joe, it's Uptown Hospitality and Share House. Wait, I'm joining Uptown Hospital. Hey, I'm excited to officially announce I'm joining Uptown Hospitality Group and calling Share House my new home. So he's wearing a Share House hat in his thing. So I guess that's them. I don't know. This is a huge step in my career and opportunity. I've been working so hard for a long time. I'm incredibly excited to continue growing in hospitality and take on more responsibility and keep learning from an amazing team as I work toward my goal of opening venues of my own. I also have the opportunity to work all of Uptown Hospitality Group's incredible venues here in Charleston. One of the venues Joe mentioned specifically was By the Way, which is a bar owned by Craig and Austin.
There we go. I wonder if Bravo is pushing out Leva. Maybe they're like, I wonder if it's an issue that Lamar won't shoot that, or maybe they just don't like working with Leva. I'm not sure, but like, it's so wild because I think what's always been interesting about Southern Hospitality is that Leva was never a breakout star on Southern Charm. She just was a part of the ensemble. And, you know, she would push back and, you know, sometimes she was like a voice, like a more progressive voice on a show where there's like a bunch of dingbats, but she wasn't like a hugely, hugely, hugely magnetic part of the ensemble. She didn't like pop out above and beyond. And yet she wound up with the spinoff where she was like the head of the spinoff. And I wonder if that was always like a little bit of a weird tension for Bravo. And maybe they're like, oh, there's a way for us to consolidate this and move it all over to this Uptown group that has Craig and Austin's bar. So that way we can center them instead. Because I think Bradley, did he leave Republic to work on Body by Brad? Joe has left. Will is a law student.
He did? Well, Levis said in a previous Instagram post around the reunion time that Emmy and Brad were both off the schedule. And I think Brad's was to do with controversy after the season filmed, where he was taping somebody at his gym, like a lady at his gym, and posted like she's doing the treadmill incorrectly or something. And there was like a big controversy over that. So, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, it seems like a lot of them are kind of on their way out. Like, what are you going to do with Emmy?
Yeah, the thing is this. Emmy was actually probably the biggest issue, which is like they had to get rid of Emmy. I don't know. Maybe they saw like, okay, we don't want this cast to get locked in the way we got locked in with Vanderpump Rules, where then all of a sudden we're in so deep with them that like if we pivot to like new people, like the audience will reject it. So maybe they're just trying to just, I don't know, remix it a little bit. But I have to imagine that Maddie will be back. Joe will be back. And there was before all this stuff came out, there was a blind that said Southern Hospitality is coming back, but Leva is out. And it was like, what? Why would Leva be out? Then all of a sudden we see TJ pushing back. All of a sudden we see Joe with this post. So I'm so confused. I'm confused about the future of this show. It's like,
yeah, well, I guess we'll see. I don't think the ratings were very good. So they needed to do something. So maybe that's what they're going to do. Just move it over, you know, and Michael Horn is in the comments saying maybe it'll be like VPR where they move off into adulthood. That's a possibility, like not making it as much about the restaurant and stuff, but they've only been doing it 3 years and Vanderpump Rules did that for 11.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not true. Vanderpump Rules spun off into more about their lives, like half,
but no one liked that
4 or 5 years through the
but
show.
But no one liked that. That's the thing. And so I think I would be, I'm wondering if maybe they are trying to cut it off at the pass and be like, okay, before it gets stale, let's keep the show about what it really is about. Although the show, I do think that Southern Hospitality has done a better job at like bringing in new young people every season. So there's always like, if there's turnover, there's other people, but I just don't know if like the likes of like Lake and Molly or whatever is working. Plus also don't forget Grace Lilly has drug issues. So they probably are trying to like hit a reset without announcing it's a reset. And you mentioned ratings, by the way.
Other people to, by the way.
By the way. You mentioned ratings. Oh, yeah. Mike Bowman says Ali Bally's chance to shine. Quite honestly, they probably will put her in there.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So speaking of ratings, forgot to mention this. I just didn't even want to mention it at all, but I do feel like I have to. We talk a lot about shows that are not getting good ratings. So we should talk about the shows that are getting good ratings. Deadline wrote something last week that said Bravo's white hot reality TV summer continues. And Ronnie, I'm going to put this in the document because I don't know if it's actually in the document. I'm going to paste the link in at the top of the doc.
I can just tell by your tone what you're talking about.
You know, there's only one thing that I'm going to try not to ever talk about. But Bravo's white hot reality TV summer continues with ratings wins across Below Deck Mediterranean, In the City, and more. And so Below Deck Med, when it came back, apparently had like wildly huge numbers. Below Deck Med delivered 3.4 million total viewers across the platform in 7 days, up 59% from the season 10 debut, to be Bravo's biggest season or series premiere in more than 2 years. And then also on Peacock alone, the season premiere of Below Deck Med ranks as the number 2 Bravo next day episode of all time, behind, of course, Next Gen New York City season 2. So there's Next Gen New York City season 2 season premiere is now number one Bravo next day episode after 7 days of viewing on Peacock of all time. Now, there's a lot of things there because it's like, oh, there's the overnights and there's this demographic or this. But basically, this is the metric that these companies are using now, which is like the 1 week. You track it over 7 days, yada, yada. So there's that. So Next Gen New York City is still kicking ass. The McBee Dynasty, Real American Cowboys, unveiled its third season to an audience of 2.5 million multi-platform viewers across 7 days, which is an 88% lift year over year. This is now lucky number three on the list of biggest premieres ever for Bravo next day titles on Peacock. I quit podcasting entirely. How is this possible?
With the parade passes by. It's like, what is even happening anymore? And how do I have no grasp on it anymore? You know,
well,
it's like we were talking about earlier, Avatar, how Avatar is this $1 zillion making thing. And we don't really know that. You and I, we're like, who watches Avatar? But obviously a ton of people watched Avatar. Anyway, it just made me think of
about Avatar. Heidi Ann's in the chat says the Love Island effect, which I think is actually a very good point. A lot of people complained that when you get to the end of a Love Island episode, Peacock would immediately spit people onto McBee Dynasty. And so I'm sure a lot of people stayed, or some people just didn't realize, or I don't know how long you sit there and watch McBee Dynasty before you turn it off, before it counts as a view. So there is the Love Island effect, because I'm not going to give it to McBee Dynasty. They actually had very minimal promotion. There was a lot of promotion last year. There was very minimal promotion this year. So to hear that it was up 88% over last year is wild to me. It's wild for that.
Look,
show.
I know you hate McBee Dynasty. I hate what it stands for, but McBee Dynasty is full of mess. I mean, shit goes down on that show, and that's what people want to see. I mean, we're talking about OC, nothing going on. We're talking about all of these shows where literally nothing is going on and they're struggling to keep it alive. And then you've got McBee Dynasty, where tonight it's like, wait a minute, Steve Jr. was accused or one of the sister-in-laws was kind of accusing him of being too inappropriate with Cole's girlfriend. That's, like, what? You know, they just bring mess. They bring mess every week. So, I mean,
this is why the show is so bad.
Department.
This is why the show is so bad, because they do have a lot of mess. And to me, the fact that they cannot actually make a compelling narrative out of it is such a failure on the show's part. Like, I really, really firmly believe that, because yes, nothing is happening on Orange County, but the producers can, like, they know how to put together a good show. But like McBee Dynasty, I'm sorry, everyone keeps on saying like, oh, but like Galena is like, it's all worth it for Galena. I'm like, is it? Because honestly, I don't even think Galena's that interesting. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna say it. I don't think she's that interesting. I thought it was funny that she had these rampages, but like it was all off camera, and then she just sits there and she's like, and I just think that like, it's
all
like
of
those things where everyone,
she's literally on camera with a shovel knocking.
Okay, she was on a
down.
Shovel. She had a shovel.
She had a confrontation with Steve's ex-lover this year because the producers were trying to make her make nice with everybody. I mean, Galena's gold, and I feel like you're trying to trigger me now coming for Galena.
No, okay? I don't. I actually, come for my hot take is I don't think show. That she's gold. My hot take is that I think she's fine. Nathan I don't Galena. Think that she's
How
even.
You?
I feel like I've said like, oh yeah, Galena. I mean, Galena's entertaining. Like she's not that entertaining to me anymore. I mean, I don't know. I just think that the show is so languid and it's so dull that like, and the fact that it does it while also having all this quote unquote mess, people online are like, it's drama. It's wall to wall drama. I'm like, then why is it so boring to watch? Like, why is it so slow? Why is it so?
Because you just don't like the, there? I think the people, the whole setting to you, you know, the whole thing is just not, it's not going to be something that you like, you know. I think it just works against your, well, listen, we all have our things. Like The Valley, I can't with The Valley this year. And yeah. That, you love that one. And that one's doing great in the ratings too. So, you know, we just all have our things.
I guess
I don't like a single person on that show as far as looking up to, the, you know, nothing like that. I just think it's such entertaining trash that
I just think it's, I just don't think it's totally consistent with the rest of Bravo. Like, it's not funny. It's not campy. It's just like this show that just slowly plods along. And like, I just, that's my issue with it. You know, like, I don't know. But
yeah, I get it. Because you have straight guy shows like Below Deck or something like that, but they still give us enough, or Southern Charm, you know, but they still give us enough camp and fun to make it good for everybody. Where I think McBee is just straight up straight guy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, something we would never watch I would never have watched it if it weren't on Bravo.
Yeah, if we weren't recording this show, like, I would never, ever, ever watch it. You know, I would have watched it once and been like, I'm done with it. But, you know, yeah. I mean, it is funny. It's fun to make fun of it. That's for sure. But, the point of the story is this, that while some of our favorite shows are languishing with low ratings, McBee Dynasty, 2.5 million, multi-platform, 7 days. So, wow. Incredible. Incredible. But also, by the way, Below Deck Med.
When you look at the overnights on Bravo ratings at Ratings Bravo on X, I follow them, and it's a picture of Meredith. It's like a windswept Meredith. So I always think of it as Meredith sitting there typing the overnight ratings. But McBee Dynasty does really well. The Valley does really well. Below Deck is killing it. I mean, that hit almost a million in overnights this week, which is almost unheard of. I mean,
yeah, Below Deck Med, its premiere had 1.2 million overnights. And Below Deck Med has always been the most popular. I have to say that probably Below Deck Down Under primed the audience for a really big Below Deck Med season, because Down Under was fantastic this season. It was so good. And so it just got us all ready to dive into Below Deck Med. And, you know, people started, maybe have gotten on to Below Deck Med before they got onto Down Under. And then when Sailing came along, they're like, it's too much. They come back for Med, but they skip the others. So it's like no surprise that it's had such a big season. Oh, I forgot to mention that.
Sperm. It's been a very big sperm controversy.
Yeah. Did I tell you that I saw Captain Sandy and I took a picture of her this weekend. Let me show you. Hold on.
Of her?
Share screen. Yeah, I saw her and I was like, Captain Sandy. And there she was.
He-Man. It's a He-Man action figure for those actually listening. That's hilarious.
It is actually purely a commentary on the hair. This is not supposed to be any other commentary, because I know some people will be nothing about that. It's just the same haircut. That's all. It's purely a hair comparison. But my friend has a He-Man collection. I saw it and I was like, it's literally Captain Sandy's hair.
Well, that's a new movie. Masters of the Universe. Isn't that He-Man?
Yeah, that came out in June. I think it came and went. Sort of like anyone walking into a restaurant and seeing Norma.
Sort of like Luke. Came and he went.
More like came and it stayed. The sheets, that is.
Yeah. Well, listen, I love finishing a conversation with He-Man hair and cum. And I think that is going to do it for the audio portion of this. We're going to turn this over to you guys on video. So if you're with us on YouTube or Patreon, we're going to post a link here in the comments for you to join us. Everybody on audio, thank you so much for being here. We'll talk to you in a couple Mondays.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again?
We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sarouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.